This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation! Welcome back to your home for everything modern-day flamethrower, meaning, of course, the worldwide leader, the ESPN of professional wrestling. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. We are at episode 65. And yes, I know, I lied. I said a month ago that we'd be back in 2 weeks, and for the second time, we didn't come back in 2 weeks. But we had some scheduling snafus, and we had to record some other stuff, and that week got a little haywire, so we didn't get a chance to record. But I'd like to thank my good friends over at Clotheslines and Headlines, Mr. Rosero, Mr. Willie, Mr. Milton, and the rest of the Motley crew who helped talk about Survivor Series and everything else that went on during that week. But we are back tonight, and we are going to be back for good. Well, we're always back for good, but we'll be back in the schedule swing of things. So the next two main events tonight and in 2 weeks will be previews for the next two pay-per-views, because we are at the conclusion, schedule-wise, of 2016. And this evening, or morning, or afternoon, whenever you're listening, we're going to talk the final SmackDown Live pay-per-view of the calendar year. TLC, Crazy, Sexy, Cool. What a great album. But ain't no Scrubs tonight. The kind they love for me. Hang on the S. Who's my favorite one? Left Eye, I think. I've always thought she was the hottest. I'm going to ask this guy which one of the three was the hottest. He is a main event mainstay, a veteran. I've been on many podcasts with him, and he's incredibly awesome in all aspects. And he was on with me and somebody else, and I believe Mr. Woodling can confirm this, still the most clicked show, the most clicked specialty show, not the regular shows, on the Pop feed. And that was our MTV birthday special, Mr. Jason Greenhouse.
Was Left Eye the one that beat up Andre Rison, or was
yes,
it the other way
and
around?
Okay. And died in the jungle, okay. Yeah. That's I always thought she was the hottest. What was it? It was Left Eye, Chili Boz. What was the other one's name?
Ah, brain fart.
Yeah, I can't think of the other one's name. Shit. Anyway, Greeny.
Rosero would know.
Yeah, oh, he definitely would. Actually, I had a great, you saw my message today. I had on Backspin on, I had Backspin on Sirius XM today. And you know what popped up? One of my favorite songs of the early 90s, Dre and Ice Cube, Natural Born Killers.
Little New Jack.
Oh, it's tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. Where's you know what's funny? Who was the Stevie Ray of the gangsters?
Mustafa.
It was Mustafa, yeah. Because obviously New Jack was the Booker. Booker T would probably hate
Booker
that.
T.
Booker T would probably hate that, that comparison. But anyway, Greeny Man, always a pleasure to have you on. Also joining us this evening, not a rookie, but certainly only his second appearance here on the main event. But I know this guy very well because I've worked with him weekly with one of the most read sports pieces on PlaceBeNation.com over the last few months, the Campus Hot Takes, Mr. Logan Crosland. Logan, welcome back.
How y'all doing?
I got to do a show, Greeny. Maybe you'll be on as the only other Northeasterner. But I think I got to try and get Logan, Chad, and Zellner on all at the same time. I think that'd be pretty awesome.
That'd be cool.
It'd be the Freebirds, maybe. You know, I wouldn't say the Wyatt
Southern Boys.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Or the Young Pistols. Want to be a Smothers? Logan, always a pleasure. And you've done a fantastic job. If you haven't had a chance to read, the new one just dropped today on PlaceBeNation.com, the most recent Campus Hot Takes. And, of course, Logan's diving right into the college basketball season. So you're double barreling with college sports. And we're coming down to the wire in college. As college basketball is just beginning, college football is reaching its big moment this Saturday with a boatload of conference championship games. We'll get to that. We'll goof around with that in a little bit. All right, gentlemen. Yeah. Again, as I mentioned, two pay-per-views left in 2016. One for SmackDown Live, one for Raw. We will talk about Raw in 2 weeks. And I didn't realize the official name of the pay-per-view is Roadblock, End of the Line. That's the official name of the pay-per-view on December 18th, the Raw pay-per-view. It's not just Roadblock. It's Roadblock, End of the Line. What else was there weird? Is that like Revenge of the Taker? It's like, seems like an odd extra words that are unnecessary. But in any event, we'll get into that show in 2 weeks. Tonight, we will do the final TLC show of the year. Final, I should say, SmackDown Live show of the year, which is TLC Live from the American Airlines Center. Greeny knows how I'm about to say it.
In Dallas, Texas.
As Stone Cold said it at the 2003 Survivor Series. First off, guys, quickly, I know Clotheslines and Headlines covered it, but I want to talk about it with you briefly. Logan, I'll start with you. What were your thoughts on both TakeOver Toronto and Survivor Series? You watched them both, I imagine.
Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
I really liked TakeOver Toronto. The DIY revival match was, of course, great, and Joe and Nakamura didn't falter in their second match at all. It was great as well. Mickie James and Asuka really surprised me. I thought that was really good. Survivor Series, I thought it was pretty good. It wasn't as good as I think it could have been, but the main event Survivor Series match, Raw vs. SmackDown, was very good. I really enjoyed that match, and I kind of hate Brock Lesnar, so I don't mind watching him get squashed. So.
That is correct. There have been many here in main eventville who took great pleasure in that. I know the doctor took incredible pleasure in it, even though he still thought it made no sense. He really didn't care. Greeny.
Oh, yeah, it made no sense at all, but it was still fun to watch.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. Greeny, what were your thoughts of that weekend?
TakeOver, again, another successful NXT pay-per-view. The tag match tore the house down, match of the weekend. The Mickie James Asuka match, if the rumors are true that Trish was supposed to be in that spot where Mickie was, and Mickie's kind of the consolation prize for Trish getting pregnant or whatever her issue was, job well done. Mickie sold like a boss for Asuka. That mm-hmm. was tremendous. And the Joe and Nakamura feud is far from over. The match was exactly how I thought it was going to go. Right now, you can't bring either of those guys up until they elevate some other guys. So those are right. your two top guys right now. So you kind of knew that this feud's going to keep on going.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. They'll probably have one more. I don't know if they'll do a takeover. Does it seem like they're going to keep the takeovers to just the big pay-per-view weekends? Or are we going to get another takeover between now and... Because I'm sure they'll do one that Saturday night in San Antonio. That's a guarantee. But are they going to do one between now and then?
I've been reading something about... They're doing a tour of Japan.
Yes, and New Zealand.
Right. And I think that they're doing a rematch with Joe and Nakamura in Japan, and they're going to have the cameras there. It's supposed to be on the network, apparently.
It's next week.
Is it next week?
Oh, wow.
Next week's NXT is from Japan. Yeah, that's right.
Holy okay. shit. That house is going to melt when the violins yep. start. Holy shit. Yeah. And Joe probably eats it up because Joe is like a modern day Stone Cold. As much as being a babyface is nice, he must eat up great heel heat. So I think he would be all over that if that place went bonkers when the violins start. Mm-hmm. But you know that the next, it's a guarantee, the next actual takeover will be the night before, the night before the Rumble. They'll do it at, yep. They'll do it probably at the, I don't know if they'll do it at the AT&T Center.
They announced it. It's at Freeman Coliseum.
Oh.
Yeah, which
I didn't even know was still
that
open.
That fucking toilet is still open?
Yeah.
Mr. Crosland, trivia question, because you're the youngin'. When was the last pay-per-view at Freeman Coliseum?
Oh, I have no idea. No idea.
Come on. No idea at all. Greeny, do you remember?
Survivor Series 95.
94.
95 was DC.
95 was the first one on a Sunday. 94 was the last one that was the night before Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So that was the last pay-per-view at the Freeman Coliseum. I really thought the place wasn't open. Is Hemisphere still open? I got to ask Will. Is Hemisphere Arena still open? I don't know. How is Hemisphere Arena knocked down and Freeman Coliseum isn't? It's weird. In any event, so NXT TakeOver San Antonio will be at Freeman Coliseum, and of course the next night, the Royal Rumble will be at the Alamo Dome. We'll talk about this later on down the line as we get closer to the Rumble, but why do I want Goldberg to win? Is that just the old fart fan in me that wants Goldberg to win the Rumble? I don't know. Something weird. I don't know. Maybe it's my wiring, but that'll obviously probably change as time progresses. All right, guys. Before we get to the card, what is your thoughts? I ask this question to my guests every show. We're now 6 months into the brand split, right? Because it's split, what, late July? Greeny, Greeny, we'll obviously only talk about one show tonight. How has SmackDown Live been in your eyes as a show since? Because the split was bigger for them than it was for Raw. Raw really didn't change except the logo. SmackDown Live, everything changed. It's now live instead of taped. They have Talking Smack. They have a post-game show. So they got changed much more than Raw did. Has it been for the better?
Yeah, I started saying this about 3 weeks after the split. Raw has been just a habit for me to watch, but SmackDown has been must-see TV every week. They've taken some people like, take Carmella for instance. They've kind of done what Heyman used to do in ECW, not as good, but to a certain level, where they've hid a lot of talent's weaknesses, and they brought out the best in them. I'm just using her as an example. There's a few other people they've done it with too, but just some of the pairings to Orton and Bray, some of the weekly matchups. It's just I don't think they've had a bad matchup. Okay, maybe they have the Kane and Harper matchup, but yet last night was not very good, but. Mm-hmm. Everything makes sense, and the 2 hours fly by. The four-man booth I can live without, but Mauro is the best play-by-play guy in the company.
Mm-hmm.
He sells every angle like it's important. Heel JBL is back. I love it every week. 2 hours of must-watch TV.
What do you think, Logan?
I've enjoyed SmackDown since the beginning, since the brand split. It's just enjoy the characters so much more on that show. They focus way more on stories. And, I mean, AJ Styles is probably the best wrestler in the world, and you get to watch him every week, and he's just amazing. And I've really enjoyed SmackDown. I'm really impressed of how they have kept it up throughout the 6 months, but it's definitely my favorite show.
I've enjoyed it, too, for a couple reasons. Number one, I know I went on that whole tirade. I think it wasn't Survivor Series. I think it was Hell in a Cell where the war began between JR and I about Renee Young. But as a whole, I will redact one comment, or retract, I should say. Talkin' Smack is a good show as a whole. There was a stretch where she was getting aggravating with the whole, like, she wanted to get the, like, internal total divas. Now she's on the show, so now she doesn't have to be, like, the outsider anymore. But as a whole, Talking Smack is tremendous. I think the pre-shows need to be revamped a bit. Booker King Lita, I think they feel tired. But like JR and I said, this is what the network's used for: pre-game shows, post-game shows. And I don't disagree with the theory and concept of it. I just can't stand the personnel needs to change. And it's funny because a couple weeks ago, I haven't caught the last 2 weeks of Talking Smack, but a few weeks ago I know Daniel Bryan gave Renee Young crap because she was wearing red. I think it was the one after Survivor Series. I think it was the week after Survivor Series, I think I watched Talking Smack. And he was giving her crap because she was wearing red. And they don't even hide the fact anymore that, remember, they used to be like a coy little thing between her and Dean Ambrose when they'd be on set like you knew they were going out, but they didn't really like flaunt it. Now they don't. Now nobody gives a fuck. You know, it's like whatever. Now you know that you know they're giving each other looks and they want to throw jokes and then they fucking any bangs are in like 20 minutes. So after the fucking cameras go off. So, but
lucky bastard.
Yeah.
They've also exposed that on Total Divas too. They haven't had like a big storyline for them on Total Divas yet, but Renee's mentioned it. Yes, I'm dating Dean Ambrose and this and that.
I'd like to see. Has Ambrose been on yet? Has he been on?
Just in the background. I haven't watched tonight's yet. Rusev was on it. He was awesome.
I think I want expected. I want all the boyfriends to be dickheads. I really do. I just want them all to be fucking the jerk offs of the earth because I think that's what makes the show better. So.
I don't know. Maurice is my MVP so far on this season. She's been tremendous.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm deciding whether I want to watch from the beginning. I may want to put a gun in my mouth because some of them I absolutely fucking... I'm done with Natalya. No one cares about her and Tyson Kidd anymore. If he's never going to wrestle again... And I like Tyson, but there's really... I mean, is there any worth to that? Is there any value to that marriage anymore on this show? I mean, really, to be honest with you.
And, I'm glad somebody hates Natalya as much as I do.
She's the worst.
She is useless. She is useless.
Awful.
Go back to your cats. you know, women. Oh, I shouldn't say that because oh no, I don't want to. I'll really get buried if I talk about women with cats. But no. but anyway, we may mention Total, and plus I don't want to piss Ben off. So anyway, I was just curious about Dean and Renee, but the extra pieces to SmackDown Live. Have made it the better show. Now, do we need a post-game? And this is where Justin and I were disagreeing a little bit. Do we need a post-game show for Raw? At the moment, no. The show's too long. We've just had 3 hours of Raw. Do we need another 25 minutes? Logan, do you think Raw needs a post-game show?
No.
Greeny?
No, but if they put it on the network, people are going to watch it.
They will. I agree.
Yeah,
no, they will. Doesn't mean it'll be any good, but they will, because we watch everything. Mm-hmm. Because we're just sick of fans like that sometimes. But if Raw wasn't 3 hours, maybe. But after 3 hours, haven't you gotten the gist of everything? Remember, they did Backstage Pass. They did do a Raw post-game show. They had Backstage Pass.
And then
that crapped out. And that was was that while it was 3 hours? Yeah, I think it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they did have a post-game show, and they got rid of it. Why? Because 3 hours is enough. We don't need a post-game show. You got the gist of it.
Do y'all think Talking Smack will suffer due to 205 Live being right before it?
No. No.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't think
people,
so.
People might not watch it live, but they'll go back the day after and watch it.
Yeah, I think so too.
I agree.
And the SmackDown pay-per-views since the split, so Backlash, No Mercy.
That's it.
I guess that's it. Backlash and No Mercy, both... really good. Whereas Night of Champions was... And Hell in a Cell was not great. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't fantastic either. It was like a warm glass of water, you know?
It was a
one-match show, pretty much, yeah. So we'll see what happens with these two shows. So let's talk about it. Right now, we don't have a pre-show match yet. They may add something over the weekend, maybe. But we don't have a pre-show match as of yet. So let's break it down. 6 matches, 4 championships. All the belts are on the line. We'll begin. We'll do the 2 non-belt matches first. In a chairs match. And this always seems to be the shittiest fucking feuds. Get the chair match. When we do TLC. And this is no different. Kalisto and Baron Corbin. Now, of course, this comes from, I guess they had issues before Survivor Series on the show, and then at Survivor Series, Kalisto got hosed against Brian Kendrick in the Cruiserweight title match because Baron Corbin ran in. I don't see Kalisto winning this match. I think, as much as a lot of people think that Baron Corbin's kind of been on, like, spinning his wheels... Isn't he undefeated in pre-show matches? You know, I think that he's still a guy they like, and he's still a guy that may get some secondary pay-per-view, title shots or big feuds or that kind of thing. So, I can't see Kalisto winning this match. Logan, what do you think?
I really like Kalisto, but I hope Baron Corbin beats the shit out of him and moves on to something a little more important, if I'm being honest.
Right. Yeah. I like – I mean, I have nothing against Kalisto either. He might be the best – he might be the most well-behaved masked guy in the promotion, to be honest with you. Greeny, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to give the match about 20 seconds. The bell's going to ring, and Corbin's just going to beat the shit out of him with some chairs, and they're going to call the bell again. It's going to be a short, just hot mess, and Corbin will win it.
All right. Yeah, I mean, Corbin is a solid – is not a bad worker. You guys – I mean, it's – I've documented it very well here on Main Event, what I think they should do with Baron Corbin, but I won't get into that now because we're not on Raw, so I can't trash I can't trash that other stupid shit. But I like Baron Corbin here as well. All right, in a no-disqualification match, and I don't know how – I don't know how violent this match is going to get. But Carmella will take on Nikki Bella. This is not going to be Trish and Victoria from the O2 Survivor Series violent by any stretch. Nikki's going to win. Her boyfriend went into booking and said it needs to be. So I doubt that. Do you guys really think that? Let me ask you an all serious question, Logan. I'll start with you. Do you think that Cena maneuvers Nikki's matches?
No, I really don't.
I don't think so either. Do you think so, Greeny?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think he gives a fuck, to be honest with you.
No. If this was Hogan and like Hogan defending his friends and stuff, yeah, absolutely.
Beefcake.
But no, I don't think, yeah, like Beefcake or somebody like that. But yeah, no, I don't think Cena has any pull in Nikki's booking.
No, I don't think so either. But she's going to win, though. What do you think, Greeny? You first.
I disagree. I'm taking Carmella here.
Really? I'd love to see her win.
Yeah, I think she needs to win.
She definitely needs a win.
Her promo last night was really good, where she's shitting on Cena.
Really? I actually haven't caught. I'm going to watch it before the end of the week. I watched Raw today. I didn't get a chance to watch SmackDown.
Yeah, she cut a really good promo shitting on Cena, and then Nikki came out and attacked her. Really good stuff. Mm. She just needs to drop the Enzo and Cass Staten Island thing.
Or at least
it worked in NXT.
Or at least downgrade it a little bit.
Right. She's not with them anymore. Yeah, get rid of it.
Yeah, it's a bit much. It's a bit much. God, she's hot, though. Mm-hmm.
Collins, a lucky man.
He is a very lucky man. He's very lucky, unless he gets fired. But he won't. I wish the other one would. Logan, Logan, what do you think?
I'm going to agree with Greeny. I'm going to go with Carmella.
All right.
I hope they let them use the stiff and they really just beat the piss out of each other, but we'll see.
Yeah, if Nikki's as tough as she says she is, and you know, I really do think that they'll try and amp it up a little bit. I don't think Carmella minds a little blood, or, you know, not that they would do it on purpose, obviously, because we're not in that era anymore, unfortunately. We'll make it a clean sweep. I like Carmella to win here, but Nikki Bella maybe in the same thing that JR always says about Cena. I'm not going to pick against Cena until he loses. So who knows? But I'm going to take Carmella here too.
One thing I like about Carmella's booking is that they've had her working on Nikki's neck a lot.
Mm-hmm. It sounded like you said Carmella at first. You know what I like about Carmella's booking? That Derrick Rose takes less shots. I can tell you the Knicks are what? What are they? 8-8.
Yeah, they're playing the Timberwolves tonight.
Yeah, it's a home and home. I think they play again. I think they play Target tonight. And I think they play the Garden on Friday. Well, they're better than Nets. Nets are fucking terrible.
Knicks are up 9.5.
Wow. Yes. Wow. Yeah, it's a home and home. They play at the Garden on Friday. Anyway, you can hear more of that talk on the Pop feed with Mr. Murray and Mr. Reich. All right, guys, four title matches. We'll begin with the Blue Belts, otherwise known as the SmackDown Tag Team titles, your champions, still Heath Slater and Rhino, taking on the Wyatt family, Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. I wish Randy Orton would change his name to something else. I think it'd be pretty funny. What do you think of Orton in the Wyatt family, Logan? Is it working for you?
Yeah, I like it so far.
I've enjoyed it, too.
waiting for him to ruin it, but I like it so far.
Yeah, this is. I think this is different than when he pseudo re-infiltrated the Authority in that shit feud with Seth going into WrestleMania 31. I think he truly is in the Wyatts. My opinion, Greeny. Do you think it's worked so far?
I love it. It's one of the better parts of SmackDown. I mean, the whole 2 hours have been really good, but it's one of the high points. Bray, as a singles guy, has not been as successful over since he started doing the Bray Wyatt character. He's a tag guy, and I think Orton, they finally found the person for him, and that's Orton. They're so different that it works.
Right. They definitely are different. And after that, whatever the fuck happened at the end of SummerSlam against Brock, I think this was a way to... I think Orton's being used well on SmackDown. He's not in title feuds. I think he's been used better than Cena, although Cena pretty much is a part... I mean, let's be honest. Cena's pretty much officially a part-time guy now. But Orton's not involved with AJ. He's not involved with anything at the top. This is a perfect feud for him. And I could see Orton being a catalyst for Bray being the SmackDown champion at some point.
Hmm. Yeah.
So... yeah. So, I think that this will be a fun match. I think Heath and Rhino have been pretty good. I mean, I wish they had a title shot at No Mercy, or maybe they did. Wasn't there a multiple? There was a multiple match, right? At No Mercy. I'm trying to remember now.
What was it? Was it them and the Usos?
Right? Wasn't it a four-way? I thought it was a four-way.
No, it was just them and the Usos.
It was just them and the Usos. That's right, and they won, which shocked everybody. Mm-hmm. So they've survived. They've survived since Backlash. But I think it ends here. I like Bray and Orton winning the belts. Greeny?
I agree.
Logan?
I agree, in convincing fashion.
In convincing fashion? Like Clemson, yep. South Carolina convincing?
Yeah, probably.
Wow. Holy shit. Like Ohio State in those 2 weeks where they scored like 130 points? Right? Yeah. Was it Ohio State?
Something like...
Blew out Maryland and... yeah, right? It was Ohio State, Maryland, Ohio State, Nebraska. That's right.
Yes, something like that.
Yeah. All right, so we all agree that the Wyatts will be your new SmackDown Tag Team Champions. The Nickel Belts, as the nickname is, because on Raw, they're the penny belts. Next, a belt that I'm looking at right now, actually, as I have in my collection, the Intercontinental Championship on the line in a ladder match between The Miz and Dolph Ziggler yet again. I don't know. I thought I was 50-50 here, but... Let me get your guys first. Logan, go ahead. Who do you like and why?
I have no idea on this one, really. I'm going to pick The Miz because I just don't see him dropping it again this quickly. And I'd kind of like to see him go on a honky-tonk man cut type run. I kind of wish he hadn't lost it in the first place, but I'm glad Ziggler's still around. But I'll go with The Miz.
Okay. I like that. I like that thought, though. I wish he hadn't lost either. I think a lot of people just wish that Dolph lost, and that was the end of that. But what do you think, Green?
I'm going to take Ziggler just because I can't see him not having the belt. What are they going to do with him after this? Miz, there's still a lot for him to do, quite frankly, because he's one of the best heels in the business, and his wife is smoking hot, and with her by his side, it's the complete package. I think Dolph gets it back. It's supposedly gonna, it's their last match in this 6 month long feud or however long it's been.
Yeah, really.
Elevate somebody to feud with Dolph. I don't know who, have somebody come over from Raw or something. But yeah, I think Ziggler wins the feud and wins on Sunday.
Okay. So I break the tie, huh? Sorry, Greeny. I got to go with the Miz. I think he's going to hold it for a little while longer. I got an interesting theory about the heels, and we'll get to the heels on SmackDown, and we'll get to that after we make our picks. But I think the Miz retains it, because I agree with Logan. I think he's going to hold it at least to SummerSlam. I have a feeling we're going to see another IC ladder match at SummerSlam. At WrestleMania. So I think he's going to hold on to it for a little bit. Okay, next. And I'm looking forward to this match the most. A tables match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. Your champion, my last kicker herself, Ms. Becky Lynch, taking on Alexa Bliss in probably the rubber match to this feud. I don't see Becky dropping it. Would you have expected this much stability on the SmackDown side of the women's division and instead of the Raw side of the women's division, where I'm a little... We're going to get more into that in our second segment after the break, but I think Becky has been a fantastic SmackDown Women's Champion. She's a great babyface girl. The young girls love her. The young fans, which I think is what they kind of got. It was what they were hoping to get out of her. Alexa Bliss is this, you know, Harley Quinnish looking little snot, who we all know probably isn't championship material. At least I don't think so, but. And these are two girls, two women, who I don't think would have a problem throwing each other through tables and busting their noses and that kind of thing. I expect some violence in this match. I don't think this is going to be like a Alexa Bliss trips and falls into a table and it kind of pseudo cracks. All right, match over. I don't think that at all. I think you're going to see some violence in this match. I really do. Greeny, what do you think?
Yeah, they kind of they teased that last night. They did a contract signing and Becky went through a table on SmackDown. Alexa Bliss is another person on SmackDown. Like I mentioned earlier, they're hiding the weaknesses of a lot of people on SmackDown. Alexa Bliss is another one. They repackaged her look a little bit with the Harley Rose thing and stuff. She, really, really good looking girl. And she's tough for being 5 foot tall or however, 4'9", 4'10", whatever she is.
Right.
Becky's the centerpiece of that women's division. She retains.
Hmm. Logan, what do you think?
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Alexa Bliss so far, but Becky will retain.
Yeah, I think Becky's going to retain too. I thought, and I hate to say this, I thought at some point in this stretch that fucking bitch Natalya was going to eventually win the belt, but I don't think she, I don't think she is.
I quit if that happens. I literally quit.
And then Brock Lesnar wins a women's title. No. Imagine if there was a storyline where Brock won all the belts, including the women's ones. Imagine Brock walks up to I know he's not champion anymore, but would walk up to Kendrick and say, you know, I want to be the Cruiserweight champion. What an awesome storyline. So I think this match is going to be physical because Becky seems very durable. I think she's more durable than Sasha, to be honest with you. And she's going to win this match. But I'll give Alexa her due for a little mighty mite of four whatever. She does, you know, put on a pretty good match. So I think this might be the sneaky match of the night. This one and the tag with Orton and Wyatt against Heath and Rhino. I have a feeling that might be sneaky good too.
Yeah, that's going to be hard-hitting.
I think it's going to be hard-hitting, yeah. So we all agree that Becky Lynch will retain the SmackDown Women's title. All right, time for the main event. As we take the three previous stips for the titles and throw them all together in one big stip, a TLC match for the WWE World Championship. Your champion, the face that runs the place, AJ Styles, taking on... Miss Renee Young's main squeeze there, Mr. Dean Ambrose. Before we go for the picks, Logan, do you think this feud has run its course?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Expound on that. Have you enjoyed it so far? What are your overall thoughts on the feud in general?
Oh, yeah, I've definitely enjoyed it, but I would love to see AJ get into different feuds with other people than Dean Ambrose.
Were you an AJ fan? Have you been an AJ fan the whole time?
Oh, yeah. I've loved AJ since his TNA days, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Greeny, has this feud run its course? Should this be it?
Yes. The only reason why the feud hasn't sunk yet is because of James Ellsworth. He's been tremendous as the little middle person in this feud.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree. What an odd looking human being. I wonder where they figured out how they were gonna do with him. Maybe it was that. Which one was? Was it No Mercy when Styles was walking through and it was Ellsworth talking to the other goofy looking jobber guy? Right? Isn't that how it started? Was it No Mercy or was it Backlash? I thought it was No Mercy.
It was Backlash.
When he was walking backstage, I thought maybe he had the belt already. That's why I thought maybe it was. That's why I thought maybe it was No Mercy. But I'm trying to think which one it was. But that's when it started. When they saw the little neck, you know, the fucking chinless wonder there, and suddenly he's the other ugly face that runs the place. All right, this match is going to be tremendous. I do feel they find new ways to invigorate their matches. But I think AJ retains, and I think Dean shifts off and moves on to something else. So I like AJ to retain. Logan?
I like AJ to retain, too. And maybe move on to a feud with The Undertaker for Royal Rumble?
What do you think, Greeny?
Yeah, I think AJ retains. I think that James Ellsworth plays a part in accidentally causing Ambrose the match, getting some friction in between them. And I agree with Logan. I think that we might see the Phenomenal One and the Phenom coming up shortly.
The Phenom versus Phenomenal.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. Interesting. I like it. Oh, no, I wasn't correcting you. I was just saying it. Yeah. Phenom versus Phenomenal. I think I just made a t-shirt. Yeah, because you and I are the t-shirt junkies, so you know we'll both buy that. So, all right. So here's I think our picks again: Heath Slater and Rhino versus the Wyatt family for the SmackDown tag straps. All three of us like the Wyatts. Kalisto versus Baron Corbin in a chairs match. We all like Baron Corbin. Nikki versus Carmella in a no DQ match. We all took Carmella, I think, correct? Yes. We all took Carmella. Ladder match for the Intercontinental title, The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler. Logan and I took The Miz, and Greeny thinks Dolph will win. Tables match for the WWE SmackDown Women's title, Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss. We all like Becky. And finally, we all like AJ Styles to retain the WWE World Championship in the TLC match against Dean Ambrose, and I think you're going to see an incredible spot in that match. And I think James Ellsworth's going to take a spill where he may actually get killed. We'll see. So there is your TLC card for this Sunday live from the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. Again, the next card is Roadblock End of the Line, which is the Raw pay-per-view, which will take place in 2 weeks from now, and we'll have a preview show for that. On December 18th from the PPG Paints Arena in... look how many P's are in this. PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. If we ever had to have Brad on the show to do this, it'd be a total nightmare. and, of course, one match is set after last night's Raw episode. Kevin Owens will defend the Universal Championship against Roman Reigns. It will not be belt versus belt, which means Kevin Owens will win. But, of course, they have time to add some more matches to that card, of course. All right. Guys, nice job. Why don't we take a break? And when we come back here on the main event, we're going to dive into Raw for a few minutes because I want to talk about what many might consider the feud of the year, because we will have, of course, a main event award show. Did the feud of the year culminate Monday night, and should it continue? Scott Criscolo, Logan Crosland, Jason Greenhouse. More main event after this.
Because
you make me cry.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, Place to Be Nation Pop feed, Pro Wrestling Only feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And, of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name. Now it will be known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
Regulators. You regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up! It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets trying to consume some skirts for the E so I could get some phones. Rolling in my ride, chilling all alone.
Just hit the east side of the LBC on a mission trying to find Mr. Warren.
And welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to episode 65 of the main event. Scott Criscolo, along with my very good plus personal friends, Jason Greenhouse, Logan Crosland. Speaking of Logan Crosland, you're seeing his name all over PlaceToBeNation.com today. Mr. Crosland, my friend, Hoop Nation number two, your second edition of your College Hoops Roundup. Your thoughts on the early season so far?
It's been pretty fun to watch so far. Kentucky's looking dominant as usual. North Carolina dominated in Maui, so they look to be a good title contender, and Villanova is continuing their winning ways and looking to defend their national championship, so should be an interesting year.
Yeah, it should be a very interesting year. And you say lots of good things about Villanova, or else you'll be writing. Brad wants to hear as much Villanova as possible. You'll be writing video. You'll be writing horror movie reviews like that other guy used to do.
I tried to throw Providence in there for JR.
Okay. All right, that's fair enough. All right. Anyway, check out Logan's college basketball roundup, and of course, right above it on the page, you and I with our 13th edition of Campus Hot Takes as we get you ready for the college football playoff, all the conference championship games coming up on Saturday. I can't see. Let me ask you one question. Greeny, do you follow college football a little bit, right? Or no?
Very little.
Okay. You can answer this if you want. Is it possible, Logan, and I asked this in the on the column too, that the two best teams in the Big Ten are not even in the Big Ten championship game? Because let's be honest, the two best teams in the Big Ten are not Wisconsin and Penn State.
No. Not even close.
But how do you keep out the winner of that game and leave Ohio State in?
I don't know.
Pretty tough, right?
It's because they're number two, so.
Yep.
They're not going to drop them three spots without even playing.
Quick extra hot take. Even if Alabama loses to Florida, they're still in, right?
I don't think so.
What? Wow, really? Now that is a hot take right there.
Nah, Florida's pretty terrible. I mean, I know they're ranked and they won the East, but
wow. I don't think Alabama's going to lose.
they're going to kill them.
That may be a four touchdown game at the half, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I'd be surprised if Florida scores more than about 6 points.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think Clemson is absolutely going to throttle Virginia Tech in the ACC championship. I think they showed in the Palmetto game against South Carolina that Dabo's pissed and he wants another shot because he thinks they should have beat Alabama last year in the tournament final. And I think they want another crack at him. So I think Dabo blows out Virginia Tech and they go back. I think Washington beats Colorado. I don't think you're going to see a lot of controversy. I think Washington's going to beat Colorado. I think Bama wins. I think Clemson wins. It's just a question of that fourth spot. Is Ohio State warming the seat for the Wisconsin Penn State winner?
Yeah.
If Penn State wins, now Penn State beat Ohio State. If Penn State wins, does the committee take that into consideration? If you're James Franklin, you'd be pretty pissed, right? You know?
Yeah, if they don't get in, he'd be
curious. Yeah, it would be. So we'll talk more about that next Wednesday's hot takes after everything is said and done on Sunday. Also here on PlaceBeNation.com today, the most recent WWE Excellent Network Adventure, of course, myself and Greeny, you and I on that with JR and Chad and Dan. The TNT from March 21st, 1985. We are on the cusp of WrestleMania 1. In that episode, so my favorite episode still, Greeny. Well, besides the Jobber episode and the racist one with Paul Orndorff, is the one where fucking Beefcake dances at our little fucking our little Route 17 strip club there in Poughkeepsie or whatever the hell it was.
Oh, the Poughkeepsie Holiday Inn.
the fucking Poughkeepsie Holiday Inn. It probably still looks like that. Oh my God, Logan! You got to check out. I forgot which one. It's an 84, but you got to check it out. There's an episode of TNT where, I think it must be late 84.
It's late 84, yeah.
Yeah, because Luscious John is already managing Beefcake, and he's, they do this clip from like this fucking sleazeball like bar, and I love the outside shot. It's like a dark highway except for this one fucking shack. And then, like, Beefcake's dancing with all these ugly-looking cougars. I mean, it's the most hilarious thing you've ever seen in your life. And I goofed with Greeny. I said, oh, Greeny, this must be near your house in Whitelands. The place is a fucking shithole. It's so tremendous. So we're saying it's probably connected to, like, a Motel 6 or a fucking Ramada or something. It's so bad. Oh, God. I'm sure D'Amato frequented it. it's probably him in, like, the seventh row. So anyway, so the most recent WWE Excellent Network Adventure, TNT from March 21st, 1985. Glenn Butler, of course, with his walk around the web. This Week in Wrestling, Pete and Johnny go back to the NWAOnDemand.com, talking a little Houston wrestling. Pete and Johnny also, actually they did two This Week in Wrestlings, or is this from yesterday? Oh no, they did back-to-back This Week in Wrestlings. Earlier in the week they did one for WWE. And then they did one for NWA On Demand. So two episodes this week of This Week in Wrestling. You guys, Greeny, continuing the PTBN series rewatch of Seinfeld, The Abstinence, Season 8, Episode 9. How many are left? What do you got, like two shows left?
No, we're about halfway through of Season 8. Then we have Season 9. And rumor has it we might be starting another Larry David show when we're done with Seinfeld.
I've heard about that. I may actually join you guys for that one. because excellent. I've actually never seen. Well, I shouldn't say that. We all know the other show. CYE. but I've actually only watched like two episodes, so I might be the one, the fascinating one, on that one, because the only two I've watched is the one where he goes to the Dodger game with the hooker.
Yes.
I've seen that one, and the one where he tells Funkhauser, you got a there's a jet stream of bullshit coming out of your mouth or whatever.
With yeah. the weatherman, yeah.
Yeah, it's those two. So, and then the one where he gets mad at the dentist because he stretched his sweater sleeve or whatever the fuck, I don't know, whatever the fuck it was. Some other weird episode. Anytime I catch when I would visit JR in Rhode Island, it would be on, that would be whatever episode was. What else are popular JR viewing pleasures? What if I watch? Beer Fest is always a popular in Rhode Island, the Rhode Island compound. Juno. You know Juno with What's-Her-Face?
Juno.
Yeah, that Juno. Yeah. That's always on. Beer Fest is always on. There's a couple other things. Anyway, check out the PTBN series rewatch for Seinfeld. You guys are doing a great job. You, Andy, JD, Aaron, JR. The Abstinence, Season 8, Episode 9. And Vintage Vault Refresh. JR and I are refreshing a look back at Raw and some of the other fill in some of the gaps of the Federation era. So the most recent one, Monday Night Raw from January 17th, 1994. And then finally, the last thing I want to mention, Place to Be Podcast, episode 427, The Mothership Bebe. We are resetting the clock. We're going back in time. We got on the DeLorean. And we are doing the WWF house show from Madison Square Garden on January 21st, 1985. So everybody take a look at Terry Gibbs, the pride of New Haven, Connecticut, and Tubby Quick Draw Rick McGraw. Boy, the syringe was getting passed off that night, Greeny, huh? Good grief.
Oh, man.
Those guys were all like, and it wasn't even like jacked guys. It was like fucking, they were like fluid filled. It's like, they're like not even ripped. They just look like little pudgies. But anyway, check it out. The most recent episode of the Place to Be Podcast, JR and I, take a look at the January 21st, 1985 Madison Square Garden house show as we are resetting the timeline from scratch. Also, of course, go on to Amazon, placemenation.com/Amazon, and you'll go right to Amazon.com, and everything you buy there, as we are getting into the Christmas/Chinooka/Kwanzaa season, so all of your gift buying, go through placemenation.com/Amazon. And everything you buy, no price raising or anything. Everything still on sale on Amazon, but we get a little taste to help run the site. So if you're buying anything on Amazon, please go through placemenation.com. Check out all of our ebooks, our e-publications. We have three of them out, JR and I. One is the Federation era pay-per-views from WrestleMania 1 to Survivor Series 1992. We have all of the, we did a second ebook, which is all of the original Saturday night's main events. So from, May 85 to November 92. And then the first half of the New Generation era of pay-per-view from Royal Rumble 1993 to WrestleMania 12. And now we're, of course, working on the Monday Night Raws in between. A lot of them, of course, Greeny, and your old haunt, the old Mid-Hudson Civic Center.
Yes, went to a lot of shows in between 93 and 95.
Yep, I'm trying to find your Giants hat or your Anthony Mason jersey.
Actually, I probably had an Anthony Mason jersey. That I had Anthony Mason and I had a John Starks jersey, so it's possible that I wore one of them to a show at one point.
That is fantastic. Anyway, that's awesome. PlacementNation.com. That's why we do this site, because we love to reminisce. PlacementNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. All right, guys, let's continue talking wrestling. Now, by the way, Greeny, remember earlier we were talking about TLC and we were talking about T-Boz? She did have sickle cell anemia, so we confirmed that. She also had a tumor, too, which she had removed. And I thought she was cute, but Lisa Left Eye was the hottest.
Of yeah, that was my girl.
Rest in peace. Let's talk about Raw for a little bit. Of course, last night, or Monday night, depending when you're watching the show. Monday night, actually, I would say last night anyway, was a recording. We had yet another title change. It is now three times apiece for Sasha Banks and Charlotte, as Sasha once again is our Raw Women's Champion, winning another match on Charlotte's home floor in Charlotte. In Charlotte, Charlotte loses in Charlotte. I did like the end of the match. It was a false count anywhere, no DQ, no count out, and Sasha gave her the bank statement through the railing in the crowd, which I thought was kind of cool. It was a kind of a cool looking ending. So Sasha Banks is once again your Raw Women's Champion. Now, Jay, Greeny, I'll start with you. Are we getting to the point now with these two, though, where, yeah, these matches are still great and they're kicking ass, but are we tiring of the feud now? I mean, this is like their, what, eighth match since August? Are we tiring of it now? Shouldn't have Hell in a Cell been it?
I'm going to say no. Charlotte is a flair, and her father was famous for probably about three or four different feuds. And there's a bunch of girls in the company who kind of represent who her father's feuds were. I think that Sasha is Charlotte's Sting, where they not really hot potato the belt back and forth. It was more of, you know, they're completely even. Both these girls are even, and on any given night they can one up one another. And every single match that they have is going to be good. They're going to do innovative stuff. You can add a gimmick to the match to kind of spice it up a little bit, whether it's the Hell in a Cell or the Falls Count Anywhere stuff like they did on Monday night. If these girls fought, let's say, once every couple of months for the next two or three years, and each match was different, I'd be okay with that. I'm not going to get burnt out on them anytime soon.
Okay.
Because everything that they do is, every match is different.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Logan, what do you think? Have the matches been enough of a change, enough of a difference, that it's okay for you to keep watching them wrestle?
Yeah. I mean, I've enjoyed what they've done so far. Maybe I would like to see them branch off and face other people, maybe just for a little bit, but they can definitely go back to this feud whenever they want, because it is fantastic every time they get into the ring.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge... I think they really work hard. They have worked together often enough that they're comfortable with each other. But has it affected the rest of the roster, the women's roster? For instance, Greeny, is Nia Jax being held back too far? I mean, is there only so many squashes she can do?
No, but I think they need to find the right person for her to gel in the ring with, whether it's going to be Bayley or who else is on Raw right now, whether it's her or Dana Brooke or whoever. They need to find the right person for her to gel with. Her and Bayley had a couple of okay matches in NXT in front of smaller crowds. I don't know how a feud with those two would do on the main roster. There's something missing about Nia, and kind of like how somebody who we might talk about in a few minutes with Braun Strowman, there was something missing about Braun when, you know, and now they finally got it. It's the same thing with Nia, being, I guess, almost like a super heavyweight in their divisions. Nia has a different look from any other diva, which is great, because she's kind of like the I don't want to compare her to China, but China was different in the Attitude Era. She wasn't the typical blonde and everything. So Nia stands out, but she's just missing something in the ring.
What do you think, Logan?
Yeah, I don't know. She's definitely missing something, but I don't know what it is. But yeah, I'd like to see her and Bayley get an actual feud instead of just kind of passing each other in different weeks, and I'd like to see them build a story and have a good match at a pay-per-view.
Because I like Nia Jax, actually.
I do too.
I think she's a good worker. I think she's solid. But the problem is I mean, Charlotte right now is on top of the world in terms of in terms of the heel of the company. She's fucking amazing.
She
so
is.
It's hard to kind of it's hard to kind of usurp her right now, which tells me I think Nia Jax be better served on SmackDown feuding with Becky.
Yeah, I agree.
It's possible. Yeah.
Becky would be a much better plucky underdog for Nia than she would be on, because Charlotte's just so strong right now, so strong as a heel and as a champion, and they're obviously also trying to keep Sasha hot, and at the same time, trying to keep Charlotte's pay-per-view streak intact till WrestleMania when she loses to Bayley, which is what I'm assuming we all think is going to happen in Orlando. So that's why I think they keep doing these switches on Raw, so that Charlotte, because you know you win and lose on Raw, whatever. But obviously, they're trying to keep the streak going on SmackDown. Let's talk about Kevin Owens for a minute. What are your thoughts on him so Greeny, since he won the title? Has the writing sucked for him? Have people lost interest in him? What are your thoughts on Owens as champion?
Yeah, It's not his fault at all, but his booking has not been very good. Having Jericho with him has been good, and it's been bad. It's been good because the two of them are hilarious together, but it's also bad because Jericho's taking the heat away from the champion, who is Owens. And Jericho's been the MVP of Raw, I think, since the brand split. In the ring, once the bell rings, you know, Owens is Owens. He's been terrific, but just his booking in general has not been very good. And I understand they kind of had to call an audible giving the belt to him after Finn got hurt. You know, I don't know if the plan was to give it to Owens down the line from Finn at maybe Hell in a Cell or something like that. I don't know, but they kind of had to switch things around after Finn got hurt, and Owens has made the best of it, I think, but the booking, like I said, it hasn't been his fault, and Jericho being in the picture stealing his heat has not been good either for him as a champion.
What do you think, Logan?
Yeah, the booking hasn't been very good at all. I mean, he has two non-title losses to Roman Reigns on Raw, so that can't do anything to make your champion look good. I mean, even though Roman's a main eventer and he's the United States champion, but your main champion's gotta win matches on Raw to look convincing, and the booking just hasn't been the best for him. But Jericho has been amazing, and he's definitely been the MVP of Raw.
Is it the chemistry of his opponents? Because a lot of people feel that Seth Rollins 2016 is a lot like Triple H 2002, where he was such a good heel, but then he got hurt, but it made sense to make him a face, and he just hasn't been a good face. What do you think of that, Logan? Has the writing for Seth as a babyface been a failure?
Yeah, but Monday, I really liked the backstage conversation with Jericho. I thought that made him kind of look like a badass, so maybe if they could build on that, it can improve, but it's been pretty bleak.
What do you think, Greeny?
Yeah, I don't think they had a choice but to turn Rollins babyface, because we all know, just like with Triple H in 02, when you're out for an injury for 9 months to a year, and you come back, you're automatically a babyface. So they really didn't have a choice for him. I think he has to be a little cautious, too, for a little bit in the ring, just to make sure that knee doesn't give out on him again. Should he be the champion? Maybe, but he's definitely slowed down his pace a little bit. I mean, some of the matches that he had with Cena in 2015 were tremendous. 2016 Rollins has not been as good, but I think that, like I said, that they've been being a little bit more careful with him just to make sure that injury is not going to happen again, mm-hmm. especially with Mania season coming up very soon, and he missed last year. So they need everybody on deck this year.
Yeah, and I think the other problem is, I mean, he's got to take a little blame for some of the carelessness or some of the I don't say sloppiness, but his move choices. I mean, both him and even Owens, some of those power bombs are just unnecessary. The apron power bomb is going to hurt somebody one day, and mm-hmm. and I love Owens. No one is a bigger Owens fan than I am. I mean, I own one, two, I think I own three of his t-shirts, and that's he might stand wrong one day, and somebody may land funny, and if the apron corner hits the back of their head, like on their neck, they could be done. And now we've of course seen that with Finn Balor and mm-hmm. and Seth Rollins' sloppy power bombs. Sure, you got to land right, and I think Finn Balor wasn't accustomed to landing on the, so he tried to cushion a blow with his arm, and so he probably brought it upon himself. But
yeah,
but at the same time, Seth Rollins is a good enough worker that he could survive without having to do that. Although let's talk mm-hmm. about that for a minute. Our good friend Jordan Duncan, a member of the Core Four, calls. You know how some wrestlers are sneaky good? Well, he calls Seth Rollins sneaky bad, meaning everybody thinks he's really good, but in all honesty, he's really not. What do you think of that, Greeny?
I think Rollins is one of those guys that need he's the complete opposite of AJ, where AJ can work with a broom and make the broom look good. Rollins needs the right guy to work with. Him and Cena had that chemistry together. as we saw in 2015, maybe him and Jericho will too. I don't know. But yeah, he needs the right person, to have a good match.
Yeah. And, we noticed it right before the injury when he had that feud with Kane, and those matches were just, mm-hmm. were just, atrocious. And then he got hurt. The Cena matches were great. Actually, up until the powerbomb thing fucked his neck up, the Sting match at Night of Champions last year actually wasn't that bad. Obviously, this is all leading up to Seth and Triple H somewhere down the line, if it is in Orlando. Yep. But Raw's in a weird position right now because they've got some injuries, and the roster's a little bit wonky in terms of face heel. Now you've got, at first we all thought that Cesaro was going to leave and go to SmackDown, but now based on what you saw Monday night, apparently him and Sheamus may be having some chemistry again. Is he pushing Sheamus to be a babyface rather than Cesaro being stuck in a half heel role? What do you think of that, Logan?
Yeah, I think they're probably headed towards both of them being babyface. Maybe tweeners. But probably babyface.
Anybody need to turn heel on Raw right now?
Zayn looked like he was turning heel on Raw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if he needs to, but it looked like that's where they might be headed.
Would he get booed?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
He's amazing. He would never get booed.
No, he wouldn't. Do you think he should be moved to SmackDown? If there's anybody right now that needs a move, let me ask you this. Let me go around the horn. Go around the horn. It's just the three of us. Greeny, I'll start with you. Give me two guys, one on each show, that most need a move to the other show.
Raw, I'll agree. Zayn, I think that he would be, like I said earlier, I think, you know, Ziggler winning the IC belt is good. It's better for him than it is for the Miz. Let Sammy and Dolph have a feud over on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the SmackDown side over to Raw, Mojo Rawley. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know.
Corbin? I don't know. A guy like Corbin needs SmackDown, because SmackDown's a shorter show. It's easier to book him on the 2-hour show. Damn, I don't know. Maybe send Miz and Maurice over to Raw. I don't know.
What do you think, Logan?
Yeah, I definitely think Zayn would be better fit to go on SmackDown. I was going to say Corbin, honestly, but I don't know. Raw might not be able to hide some weaknesses as well as SmackDown does, but maybe Kalisto, though, just so he can wrestle with the cruiserweights every week, but I don't really know.
Yeah. What about the cruisers? They're technically still on Raw, but the show is taped on Tuesdays on SmackDown. Do you think they're going to get burned? Do you think they're going to get burned out being the only guys that have to be on both shows, or have to travel to both sites? What do you think, Logan?
No. Oh, go ahead, Logan.
No, I think they'll. I mean, maybe in the long run, but I think they'll be all right for a little while.
What do you think, Greeny?
No, I don't think so. I mean, do you mean as people themselves, are they going to get burned out, or are the fans going to get burned out on?
No, are they going to get burned out because of the travel?
No, because I'm sure that most of these guys were doing, you know, indie spots every weekend, traveling city to city and everything. And I mean, you know, isn't this kind of the dream, is to make it to the big show?
And this travel's not as bad. I mean, at least you're probably on a nice bus or at least a nice rental instead of a, you know, fucking, you know, Foley 79 Pinto or whatever. Yeah, that's true. That is true. And we do have a new Cruiserweight champion, correct?
Yes, Rick Swann.
I love Swann. Rick Swann, yep. Swann's awesome.
He's awesome.
Swann and Cedric. Oh, what a feud that would be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it'll happen.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Right now, Cedric's going to feud with Almas because he's the heel on NXT right now. Oh, let's talk about NXT real quick. I'm still kind of catching up on shows leading up to Toronto. I actually did not watch. I actually have not watched TakeOver yet, believe it or not. I mean, I know the results, and it doesn't really faze me. But the build was actually very good, and I think intertwining the Dusty tournament with it was very smart. Here's the problem right now with NXT. In the beginning, Logan, NXT we thought was like AAA, not AAA, the Mexican promotion, but AAA, like, you know, one tier below.
Baseball.
Where you had a lot of young guys who were moving up the ranks, and then they'd eventually be moved up. Mm-hmm. But now, it's almost a proving ground for veterans who worked in promotions that the WWF didn't respect and thought were shit. So now they're trying to prove that they are good enough to make it to the big time. And, of course, the two guys are most importantly in this example are Bobby Roode and Austin Aries. Both guys were in TNA for a long time. Aries was in Ring of Honor. But Austin Aries, I don't know if he's WWE material. That one I'm not sure about. Bobby Roode, well, he's glorious. Greeny's known me a long time, Logan, but I'm the biggest Bobby Roode fan on the planet. He was my favorite guy in TNA forever, and when he made it, and then I saw his entrance live in Brooklyn. I mean, I was a kid. I was marking out like a 10-year-old. It was awesome. And his entrance in... I did see his entrance in Toronto, and that was equally awesome. But seeing it live in Brooklyn was fucking amazing. Has NXT lost its identity, Logan? Is it a AAA promotion? Is it a reproving ground for veterans? Or is it supposed to be treated like another brand? What is NXT?
I feel like it's kind of gotten to the point where it's another brand, because you would think that they would want to move up the guys that are having fantastic matches if they're having fantastic matches, but they kind of want to keep those top tier guys in NXT so they can build the NXT brand to be more than it already is, rather than move them to the main roster and have them succeed that way. But they want to build the NXT brand to be as good as it can be and not necessarily get rid of those guys as quickly as you might if it was more developmental.
What do you think, Greeny? What is NXT right now?
I think it's its own brand. I mean, for the past 2 years, everybody is every month, oh, you know, this person lost at an NXT pay-per-view. Now they're going to come to the main roster. I mean, they pushed, what, 10, 12 guys up to the main roster over the past 18 months from NXT. And a lot of them were, you know, homegrown talent, with the exception of a few like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Mm-hmm. But now, yeah, it's its own brand. And, you know, really the only two that were waiting to come up still, maybe three, Rude, Nakamura, and Samoa Joe. But if you bring, let's say you bring two of these three guys up, you don't have anybody really in NXT as far as who can main event your house shows. They still want to go on the road with this brand every weekend, and you need headliners. You know, you can't headline with a lot of the guys who they're bringing in from Europe, from Asia and stuff like that, who a lot of the indie fans are going to know who they are, but a lot of indie fans also don't follow everything WWE. The mainstream WWE fans are going to have no idea who these people are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They know Nakamura is because of his exposure now in WWE. They know Joe and they know Rude because of TNA. They know Austin Aries. They know Roderick Strong because of Ring of Honor and TNA. But they don't know who a lot of these other guys are that they're bringing in from Asia and from Europe. So you need to have a few people to keep this keep it going, because, you know, if they want to continue to do, you know, big markets like New York, Chicago, Boston, stuff like that, and they want to fill a 5,000 or 6,000 seat arena instead of going back to 1,000 seat arenas, they need to have headliners. So you can't just push everybody up at the same time. As great as it would be to see Nakamura show up on SmackDown and have him feud with AJ, which would just be the greatest thing ever, but maybe some of these guys in NXT are where they have to be for the time being, just to help the brand out. But yeah, it is a brand. It's not their AAA. It's not their developmental territory anymore. It's its own brand.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of guys on that show that I'm torn, that deserve to be promoted, but at the same time, they're so much better where they are. And the number one example of that is the Revival.
Mm-hmm.
I am gigantic mark for those two guys. To me, the modern day Arn and Tully.
Absolutely.
But I will not accept them being promoted so they could job to New Day like everybody else has.
Right.
That is unacceptable. I don't care what Demolition's record is. It's getting out of hand now. So is it safe, Logan, to just keep the Revival, who's the hot tag team in NXT right now? Are they safe enough to stay in NXT and not get burnt out? Or is it better to bring them up and risk them getting squashed like the Ascension?
Oh, yeah, they're definitely safe enough to keep in NXT, because they could still have many more matches, many more great matches with DIY, and they haven't even wrestled TM61. That could be a great matchup. I think they would be fine on the main roster, but yeah, like you said, I don't want to see them get squashed by New Day, or if Orton and Wyatt went on Sunday, I don't want them to go up and get squashed by them.
Correctly.
I want them to be huge when they get to the main roster, because I really like them as well.
Greeny, is it safe? Is it safe for them to stay in NXT?
It is. The only thing that would work for them right now is to revisit their feud with American Alpha. But after that, you know, where they go from there.
Mm-hmm. Now, like the Authors of Pain, those guys need to stay in NXT for a while. They're not ready at all. And let me tell you something. Just because Ellering manages them, they are no hawking animal.
there's a reason why Ellering is with them, because they're big guy spot guys. That's all they are.
Like, yep.
Power bomb and, you know, and pummel people.
Yep.
And they can't talk. I mean, that's why they have Ellering with them. So, yep. But yeah, they are not Animal and Hawk
by any stretch.
Nope.
Yeah, they could use about another year and a half in NXT.
Year and a half. Wow. Let me ask you this. Speaking of DIY, and we love Gargano and Ciampa. They're both fucking sweet. But are they being wasted as a tag team? Are they better suited? Are their careers stunted because they're a tag team? Should they be singles guys right now, or is it okay to have them where they are? Logan?
No, I think they're fine where they are. I mean, it would be awesome to have them be single stars and be on the main roster in the Cruiserweight division, but I like them as a tag team a lot, and I think they can have a lot of great matches with a lot of different teams.
Greeny, what happens, true or false? Bobby Roode will be NXT champion before he is promoted.
True.
Logan?
True.
False. I think he'll be called up first. I don't think there's time for him right now. Unless Nakamura goes up. Here's the thing. When we talk about the top tier of the guys in NXT, here's the question you want to ask yourself. Does Samoa Joe want to be promoted? Maybe he likes being in NXT. Here's an interesting thing. What if these older guys like the cushy schedule? What if they like staying in Florida? What if they don't want to deal with the fucking bullshit on Raw with the politics and fucking Bucktooth Kevin Dunn and all those other and maybe they don't even want to deal with Vince. Maybe they like dealing with Triple H and whoever else is running NXT. Maybe those old guys don't want to deal with Vince's shit. Who knows?
I'd rather be in NXT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
SmackDown at least.
Because think about it, Bobby Roode seems like the kind of guy who took care of his money. Austin Aries mm-hmm. took care of his money. I'm sure Joe took care of his money. They're not. I don't think they're like, you know, fucking Harley and Murdoch, who's, you know, blew all their money on fucking, you know, cases of pills and bottles of wild fucking Wild Turkey, and you know, women at Rick's. But but
you had a dusty moment there. You said peels.
The peels, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Give me some of that pepper blue ribbon, baby. We need some
low hay with the baby.
We need some Lone Star with a little chicken fried steak and some iced tea. I got that from the World Class video, from the World Class DVD when you said that. My dad used to cash his paycheck. We used to get some chicken fried steak and some iced tea, and then we used to go to the Sportatorium. So to God, that was right in the World Class DVD. The reason I say no is not because he doesn't deserve it. Of course he deserves it. But I think that the window for Brood is smaller than the other guys. Would I like to see, would I be upset if he won the NXT title? Of course not. But I just don't see the timeline set for him. I think he wants to be on the main roster, and he's good enough to carry on the main roster. Joe, I think Joe just likes NXT. I don't think he ever wants to be brought up. I think he likes NXT. I think he likes the cushy schedule. I think he's pining for a retirement agent spot down there at Full Sail. I think Joe wants to work down there and be an agent with Albert and those other guys and, you know, Norman Smiley and whoever the hell else is down there. So I don't know if Joe is a guy that wants to be on the main roster. He's made enough money in his day. He's been a world champion. Would he like to be the world champion? Maybe. But I think his ultimate goal when he came to WWE was to eventually retire and be a trainer and an agent at Full Sail. Just my theory. But that's what I think. Roode want to be on Raw. And I think he'd be perfect. And I think because that, the glorious and everything, oh, what a tremendous, that would look great on a big stage. And it will look good in Brooklyn, and that was a big stage. Speaking of translating, here's an interesting question. I was skeptical, and I'll admit when I'm wrong, and I'll say it to Steve Willey. I was wrong about Bayley. I didn't think Bayley's character would translate to the big roster, and I was wrong. But other NXT guys have not, like Adam Rose. But Adam Rose, they screwed up because it was one thing to have like that train of kooks when it was like 10. But when you're in an arena with like, you know, 1,000 people, a 10-person train of kooks looks pretty cool. But when you're in a 20,000-seat arena and you still have 10 guys or 10 people, now suddenly it just looks hokey. They should have stretched from 10 to like 70, but they didn't. And Adam Rose's gimmick went right in the stinker. I'm concerned about Nakamura translating to the main to one of the two main rosters. What do you think, Logan, about Nakamura translating to the main roster?
I think maybe if he's put on the wrong show, he could get kind of shuffled down towards the bottom. But hopefully they'll stick him wherever AJ might be whenever he gets called up so they can maybe feud. I hope they would put him on SmackDown, but he's kind of a talent to where I could see him getting put on Raw and maybe getting lost in the shuffle.
What do you think, Greeny? Because a lot of people think that Nakamura will just fit in like a glove with the theme and the violins and everything, but I just get concerned. That's not a guy that deserves to be lost in the mess. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, his entrance is definitely made for Monday nights, I think. I think if they bring him up, it would have to be after Mania where they kind of get rid of, not in a bad way, but either make them agents or make them trainers in NXT or something. Your Ziggler's and a few other guys who have been taken up, you know, who have ran their course. I don't want to say right. Taken up roster spots,
right.
But your Ziggler's and your Curtis Axel's and your Bo Dallas is, you know, and all these guys who are just floating around on main events. Get rid of them. Make some room for new guys. But I mean, you know, obviously the big feud everybody wants to see is going to be Nakamura and AJ. But I mean, Nakamura and Rollins would be fun. Nakamura and Jericho, you know, Jericho's last feud before he, you know, leaves again to tour or to retire. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be fun. I think it has to be the right time for him.
Right.
That way he does not get lost in the shuffle and becomes another Neville, for instance.
Yeah. What happened to Neville, huh? Should he be a cruiser?
He should
yes,
be.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought that was the whole point of bringing the division back, because I thought they were going to, like, make him the star, and they just...
Maybe he's the guy who could benefit from going to SmackDown.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm. I have another guy who's kind of at the moment lost in the NXT shuffle, but still hasn't found his peak yet, and it's Itami. Boy, that injury was really long.
Mm-hmm.
Much longer than I think they thought. And I think he's still trying to find his feet.
Yeah, he's got damaged goods at this point.
Yeah, and that sucks.
Yeah, big time.
Because guy's a worker. And remember when they signed him... And they signed him, and then they signed all those guys all in one big clump.
Uh-huh.
Man, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
What does his future hold, Logan?
I'm not sure. it might not last too much longer if he gets another injury, and he's shown that he's kind of injury prone. So I don't know. He might have one more run in him. If he gets injured again, he might just have to hang him up.
Yeah. Time will tell. Time will tell.
Or they might just give up on him because he's so injury prone. You know.
Yeah, he could be the biggest missed opportunity.
Yeah, really.
As far as Triple H signings go,
could be like Kennedy.
Yeah,
could be just like Kennedy. I mean, JR and I went through one thing we did document that was fun to document when we did 06 into 07 was the rise of Kennedy, and I mean the great feud he had with Taker and everything, and then he won Money in the Bank and then got hurt.
Splat. Yep.
He got hurt. It sucks. Yep. Just like Dolph in 2013, same thing. Guys, it's been a lot of fun. Great discussion. And you'll both be back. You'll always be back. That's it for this week's episode of Main Event. We'll be back in 2 weeks where we will go to the we'll go from the blue brand to the red brand and preview Roadblock End of the Line Revenge of the Taker, Cold Day in Hell, and other random 97 titles. Good friends, better enemies.
National incident.
I'm going to WrestleMania. Nah. Anyway, we'll be back in 2 weeks, and we'll go over the final pay-per-view of the calendar year. Check out, of course, all the great podcasts all around PlaceMeNation.com, both on the wrestling feed, the pro wrestling only feed, and the PTBN pop feed, where Mr. Greeny and I will be filling up with some excellent content in 2017. So most definitely check that out.
Stay tuned.
Greeny, always a pleasure, my friend.
Thanks, buddy.
And I know I always say this, as much as you enjoy Raleigh, I always wish you lived close again.
Appreciate it every time you say it.
Logan, I wish you lived close too, but I dig your accent, so I have to have you, Zellner, and Chad on at the same time, and we get you're like the gold dust trio of chicken fried steak. all we need is have Will on, and you can all pretend you're Lance Russell in a big promo in the Mid-South Coliseum. All right, Logan, always a pleasure. Check him out, of course, on both his and my campus hot takes and his college basketball weekly column as well. He'll be back here on Main Event. For Logan Crosland and Jason Greenhouse, I am Scott Criscolo. You've been in the Main Event. Enjoy TLC, my girl Left Eye, and I love you, T-Boz. Talk to you in 2 weeks. Shut up, Reese.